The Holy Gospel according to Mark in the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, teaching the crowds, and arguing with the Pharisees, Jesus was tired. And so he left Galilee and went into Gentile territory to the beach community of Tyre. And Mark makes it clear that Jesus really needed this vacation by telling us he went into a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. But when a Gentile woman heard that Jesus was in her area, she barged into the house, threw herself at his feet, and begged him to cast the evil spirit out of her daughter, who was at home. And our expectation is that Jesus will surely have compassion on this desperate woman and her daughter, and heal her daughter. But what he says is, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That doesn't sound like the Jesus we know. Dogs? And if nothing else, this passage illustrates that the Bible was clearly written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because Mark would never have written this story on his own. It just isn't good PR for their movement. And biblical scholars and commentators on Mark's gospel hit this passage like a speed bump going 60 miles per hour. Trying to defend Jesus, they come up with the most interesting explanations. Some claim that Jesus was tired and knew he shouldn't be doing ministry right then. When you're overextended, you tend to lose bandwidth and say things like, "I just do Jews, not Gentiles." But Jesus had already healed Gentiles. So clearly that wasn't the problem. And besides, this isn't a burned-out do-gooder. This is the Son of God who has the words of life, and we have to take all of his words seriously. Other scholars note that the word Jesus used for dogs was used only for little dogs, puppies. So maybe Jesus was speaking to her in a way that was actually affectionate. But even if we can get around Jesus calling this woman a dog, which is a stretch, That still doesn't deal with the more pressing issue of her daughter's need. And still others think Jesus was testing the woman just to see how she would respond, but the test is too great. Any of you who have children know that when something is wrong with one woman, something evil has hold on them, you're not ready to take a test. You just want healing. You desperately want healing. One scholar actually claimed Jesus must have smiled and winked at the woman when he said these words. But the text doesn't say anything about a wink. It just says what it says. And so let me suggest another interpretation. And that is that Jesus meant what he said. Yes, it could have been worded differently, but this woman does not deserve Jesus' mercy. Neither does her daughter. Neither do you or I. Just because we have needs, even great needs, that does not mean that we deserve to be healed. Healing isn't something you earn because you've lived a pretty good life. It comes only as a grace, an unmerited gift from Jesus. There are so many different images that come to mind. I think about that some get a cancer diagnosis and it means treatment and recovery, and for others it means death. For some, pregnancy and the birth of a child come swiftly and easily. For others, it's a long journey, and for some, it involves decisions about a child's ability to survive. For some, like the 44-year-old that I buried on Friday, life ends just 3 weeks after a diagnosis of leukemia. For others, it goes on without any major bumps or diagnoses. For some, like me, who had amniotic band syndrome and lost an arm, we get to live the rest of our lives. For others, they lose it. For some, health seems to be a given, and for others, it's a constant fight to even find a moment of rest or relief. What one person survives, another does not. And I generally know the people that I bury. And I know that often their lives were better than mine. And I know that whatever the reason is that I am still alive, it is not because I deserve to be. It's confusing trying to make sense of such a grace. I also look at couples who have great marriages when others who also worked hard on them do not. I think about our nation that has so much when other nations also filled with hard workers have so little or are suffering war, famine, or dislocation. Perhaps blessings have little to do with our hard work. Perhaps it's just mercy. And as Jesus reminds this woman who's in great crisis, when it comes to receiving mercy, what you deserve is beside the point. Our society has gone a little crazy over the concept of deserving. And one of the reasons why our world is so divided is that we're all insisting on getting what we deserve. And that makes us very much afraid that somebody will take what by rights is ours, so we divide the world between us and them. They're not like you. They have different colored skin or language. They have different religion or politics. They're Gentiles. And so we gather the people around us who are like us, and together we demand our rights, our piece of the American pie, before they can take it away. But by contrast, notice the amazing response of the woman to Jesus' statement about throwing the food of the children to the dogs. She did not claim to be a child of God, and she did not demand her right to have a place at the table. Instead, she said, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." It isn't often that Jesus gets impressed in the Gospels, but here he became so excited that he had found someone who was more committed to his mercy than to her perceived rights, that he cast the demon out of her daughter. She understood that there is abundance even in the crumbs. When you come to Jesus' table today, you are making a radical statement in our world. You're giving up, demanding for what you think you deserve, and are asking instead for the mercy of God. This is the holy table of Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit invites us to enter into the Son's communion with the Father. None of us ought to be here by rights. But we are here because, like this Gentile woman, we have come to see that even if a morsel of grace were to fall our way, it could restore us to the Savior who can forgive what we have made sinful, heal what we have made broken, and cast out the evil we have made normal. And it's striking that the woman had to go home to find her daughter healed. The child was lying on the bed and the demon gone, we hear. Maybe she first thought that Jesus would come and do something magical to her daughter. But all he did was promise that she was going to be okay. It may have taken some faith to ask Jesus to cast the evil out of her daughter. But it took a lot of faith to go home simply trusting in Jesus. And we too have to leave this table as a people who are changed. Changed by our total dependence on the mercy that we have found here. By the mercy of God, the woman's daughter was healed. But eventually the daughter became a woman, then an old woman, and still she died. And perhaps there was mercy for that day too. The little girls don't always survive, as mothers everywhere, especially in Sudan and Palestine, know all too well. Sometimes young people die too soon. Sometimes marriages still unravel in spite of prayer and hard work. Sometimes the fires rage or the rains fall too hard and the floodwaters rise too high in our lives. But at all times, there's an opportunity to cry out for mercy from a God who will give us himself. The reason we call you to have faith in the grace of God is not because it will pry blessings from God's hands. It doesn't give you the salvation that you want. It gives you the Savior. Our faith is not a faith that. It is a faith in. We do not have faith that what we want will happen, but faith in Jesus, whatever happens. For it is Jesus who will be our Savior in life and in death, in binding and in loosing. Here at this table, we receive just a taste of grace, just a crumb of it, just enough to remind us how hungry we are for this merciful God. But tasting that grace changes every other relationship that we have. Thanks be to God. Amen.